Merry Christmas, everyone. Today's podcast features interviews with some pretty incredible youngsters who have grown up RVing with their families. One of them lives in an RV park managed by her parents. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. I bumped into 15-year-old Rayleigh Wiley at the 2019 Work Camper Rendezvous in October, and I met Maddie Carnes while visiting the National RV Training Academy the week before a rendezvous. Rayleigh lives at the Texan RV Park in Athens, Texas. Her mother, Stephanie, is the administrator of the academy, and her stepfather, Todd, is one of the instructors and manages the campground. She has been homeschooled or road schooled for several years and describes what that experience has been like for her and how Rayleigh has benefited from the transition. Her schedule changed from sitting in a classroom from 8 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. with 4 minutes between classes and 45 minutes for lunch to spending just 2 to 3 hours a day in typical education activities. Throughout the change, she actually excelled in her studies. Rayleigh helped form a group of local teens who are also homeschooled so she and others can enjoy some of the positive aspects of socialization that come from hanging out with other students her age. Because her parents work at the RV park, she encounters other kids who are being road schooled as they travel with their parents, so Rayleigh offers some advice to them. She also gives some advice to parents on how to make the RVing experience more relevant, interesting, and impactful for kids, especially teens and tweens. She provides insight to what youngsters her age are thinking and feeling about living in an RV, and what parents can do to ease that transition from a traditional home experience to a more nomadic lifestyle. To tell us more about her experiences in and out of the RV park, please welcome Rayleigh Wiley to the show. Thanks, Rayleigh. I'm glad you took some time to come talk to us. How old are you?
I'm 15.
You're 15, and you've been RVing for a while.
Yes, I would say so.
You don't full-time RV, though, but you do live at a campground.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Correct. So you've been familiar with all parts of the RVing lifestyle, pretty much.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Yes,
very good. Where are you from?
I'm from Athens, Texas.
Athens, Texas. And that is outside of Dallas.
Yes, sir.
By about 2 hours?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but there's nothing nearby where you live?
Other than Tyler, no, sir. Just a lot of dirt. That's
fine. A lot of dirt. That's okay. You love this kind of lifestyle?
I mean, there's perks and downsides to every lifestyle. I would say that being homeschooled is very flexible, and it just lets you explore what you want to explore, maybe not what school forces you to explore. So right. I enjoy it in that aspect, yes, sir.
I wanted to interview Rayleigh because a lot of parents are concerned about hitting the road full-time when they have children because they'll have to homeschool or road school their children, as it's often called in the RV community. And you've been through that transition. You were in regular public schools for how long?
Up until my eighth grade year. I was about to go into my eighth grade formal, like the end of the year, you know, the best part, and I got pulled out right before that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because you got, mom and dad got a job, right?
Yes, that, it was a lot of things. I think that I really lost myself in eighth grade, and we were presented with the opportunity. My mom has worked for the organization in our VIA for a while, and so she's always worked at home, and she just took the opportunity, and that was it.
And that was it.
Yep.
And so she sat you down and said, honey, we're going to have a little talk. You're going to change. We're going to take you out of school, and I'm going to teach you everything you need to know.
Yes.
Is that pretty much it?
I mean, kind of. It was
And your reaction was, yay?
No, definitely not.
Not at all. Okay, so you were a little skeptical at first.
Oh, definitely. I mean, as somebody, I don't know, like as somebody that's in public school, I was always very homeschooled. You know, that's kind of weird. And I think like a lot of people in public school see it that way. And it was something that I had never explored before. I hadn't been around. I didn't know what was going to happen. It was very, like, I was very insecure about it. I would say that.
Right. It's uncertain because it's unknown.
Yeah.
And teenagers, especially when you're that age, they like certainty, right?
Yes, sir. Definitely.
And so hanging out with friends and all of that, you were thinking you weren't going to be able to do that and something was being taken away from you.
Oh, definitely. And part of the thing was I was in with the wrong crowd, and which the people I was around weren't like bad people, but it needed to change. So mm-hmm. when she pulled me out, it was a situation of we're leaving everything behind. You go through public school and you do all this, and for me, it's like, this is my personality and this is who I am in public school. But when they took me out, there was things that I did in public school for popularity. There's things that, you know, like choir, I did it because my best friend was in it. I did mm-hmm. the athletics because it was fun, you know. But when they pulled me out, it was kind of like, so who am I now? I can't do anything for other people because I don't have anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I know it sounds maybe a little bit ignorant since I was only in eighth grade, but like I had to refine myself in a way because everything I had done up to that point was for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it was a very difficult time, I would say, definitely.
So while most teenagers are trying to find themselves, you were actually required to find yourself.
Very quickly.
What did you find?
I don't know. I guess I found them kind of nerd, you know. I there were so many things in school that I was like, oh no, you know, I won't do that. I'm supposed to be a jock and an athlete, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that I'm interested in so many other things, and that I don't know, my personality just really changed, and I found things about myself that I don't think I would have let myself accept when I was in public school.
One of the things that I've noticed about kids who go to public school is they have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yes.
And they stay until 3:30
in the afternoon? Yeah, 3:45.
3:45.
Yes, sir.
And you are lucky enough to have maybe 45 minutes for a lunch?
Yes. And you have like 4 minutes to walk around the entire school and get to your next class.
And that includes a bathroom break and water break. Yes. So it's loads of fun.
Oh, yeah. Tons of fun.
Now, as a Rhodes schooler or a homeschooler, how many hours a day are you in school?
Okay. So my family, personally, we use a co-op that's very simple, and I would say I only do 2 to 3 hours of school each day, and that's still me completing the same amount of work that I would be doing in school. It's just like in a compact form, and you're not taking time, you know, for breaks in between or, you know, sports or anything. So like it went from an 8 hour day to 2 to 3 hour day.
The thing that you're missing most is the teacher having to stop because they're disruptive students and things like that that are causing everybody to slow down.
Oh, definitely.
And so you are basically self-guiding your own education, right? If you're taking the basics that everybody needs to know, but if there's something that really trips your trigger, you're allowed to explore that further, right?
Definitely. I think that's why so many parents that do homeschool think it's interesting, and I think that that's why people that are homeschooled maybe excel more, because I had this conversation with my mom the other day. I said, you know, what if when you were born, instead of being forced to eat broccoli, you were forced to eat candy? And I know that sounds special, but like, do you think later on in life you go, well, I don't want candy. My mom used to force me to make that. I want broccoli. You know, mm-hmm. I think that kids, when they're homeschooled, they go, you know what? That really interests me. Like my mom and I are really into the stars, my stepmom. And I just got into that, and now I'm really into it. And so I've dug deeper and I've got books and all this stuff. But if I was in school and a teacher told me, you need to learn about stars, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's like an hour I can't be on the TV tonight, or, you know, whatever it is. But now I'm going out of my way to do other things and research and all these things just because I want to. And I think a kid will do something way more willingly when they think they're making the decision to do it. Versus when somebody's telling them to.
Right. And it makes even easier because the kid has an interest in it.
Right.
So you'll still need to learn basic science things.
Definitely.
And basic biology things that might not interest you. But in those areas for which you have special interest or a passion, or it's just, I'd like to learn more about this.
Right.
I think this introductory course I had on astronomy is nice, but I'd really like to study, you know, the planets and things like that even closer. And you're allowed the flexibility to do that.
Right. Because you still have 5 extra hours of time a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's crazy flexible. And I love it in that aspect. And I'm not a morning person. So I definitely love it in that aspect.
Do you follow a particular curriculum that your folks have provided for you?
Yes, sir. So we right now are in Acellus, which is an online.
Acellus?
Acellus.
Acellus.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's an online curriculum?
Yes, sir.
So you log in every day and it tells you what to study?
Pretty much. I mean, you log in. My favorite thing, I guess I learned in a special way to the point where I need to see a teacher and I need to have a connection with the teacher. And that's just how I learned. My 7th and 8th grade year, I had the same math teacher, and that was probably the best 2 years of my math grades ever, just because he knew how my brain worked, and he took the time to, you know, figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so I did better. But whenever I was I can't read and learn something. I don't know if other kids can do that, but mm-hmm. I can't. I just can't read something, teach myself. I don't know how that works. But Acellus is very good at, you have a teacher in every single class. And it's great for that, because it just really helps. It's, you're still in school, and when they're teaching, there's even a class in front of them in real life. So kids will ask questions.
Oh, my goodness. So you're like sitting in on a class, but from your living room.
Exactly.
Or your desk in your room, or whatever the case might be. Okay.
Right. They're pre-recorded, so you can't ask questions right then. But most of the time, something you're thinking, wait, that didn't make sense. Somebody else is thinking the same mm-hmm. thing, and they'll ask the question. And that just helps so much. It's like a game changer. We started that my 2nd year.
One of the biggest drawbacks to Rhodes schooling and homeschooling that I hear from parents and adults is these poor kids will grow up unsocialized. What do you think about that?
I think that if you're homeschooled, your parents already care about you, you know, enough to want to spend more time with you than they would if they put you in public school. I think that they care about you a lot. And I think that it's all about how much your parents take time to put you in things. Because, mm-hmm. We're living in a town that I've never lived in before. And I went from being like a social butterfly to having nothing. And about once a month, I lose my mind. And I get very insecure about, well, Mom, I'm not going to have any friends and blah, blah, blah. And that, number one, that's like Rhodes Life. That's why we started that, to get you engaged with other Rhodes School members across the planet. And I say planet, it's probably just the U.S., sorry.
Right.
And, you know, get you engaged. Plus, my mom just started a sophomore group for me, so that I'm meeting with sophomores that are homeschooled in Tyler, Texas. And I've just started a little group between us, and we'll meet and we'll go play board games and hang out. I think it's just how much effort you put into it, because mm-hmm. there are things there.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. So there's plenty of opportunity for you to socialize and to meet other people. Now, living at a campground can be kind of isolating because you're kind of out in a remote area of Athens. You're probably 5 miles away from actual Athens.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So is that a lonely experience, or are there enough people coming in to make life interesting?
I would say that my RV park, I don't know about every single RV park, but mine in particular, we have older people coming. Not old, but like older than me. So it's just...
That's old.
Yeah. It's just a whole bunch of, you know, adults. And I love, you know, there's a few adults that come in and I just love them to death. And, you know, they become like parents to me, and it's tons of fun. But I do miss out on, you know, like just the daily interactment. We'll go and do that stuff with my group in Tyler every once in a while. But when it comes to like hanging out with my friends every single day, that's not a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just takes a lot more. It gives you a lot more time to think about yourself, I guess. And it's a lot of self-reflection. And
well, you're at a training center.
I am.
And so there are a lot of people coming in to learn technical training at that campground. And many times now, and I think you're going to see more in the future, there are kids showing up with mom and dad who are going through the technician training or whatever it is that's being taught there. Are you seeing some kids? You have seen some kids come through there.
We have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen some kids. I think it's more like as we go along, more and more. It's, I don't know, RVing in itself is becoming more and more of a millennial thing. And people with kids, they're just like branching out into it and not seeing it as such like a crazy idea. And as that keeps going, I think that I'll see more kids in the park. But, I mean, by that time, I could be graduated and off at college. But, you know, I just think, it just depends. My park in particular doesn't have a whole bunch of activities for kids. And so we just attract adults more, and that's okay. But that's what I tend to see is a lot of adults.
Okay. But that's where Rhodes Life comes in.
Yes.
And this is a relatively brand new organization of full-time RVers, and usually they're younger with children.
Yes, sir.
And so the Rhodes Life matches kids into like digital pen pals, so you can connect with somebody else your sex, your age, somewhere, and share life together, and or multiple people. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So we just actually had our first event in Athens just about a week ago, the Fall Festival, the annual Fall Festival. Yeah, we had over 20 kids show up and their families. And I will say it was great. And it was tons of fun. We don't have a whole bunch of people my age yet, so we're still trying to figure out how to reach people my age. We have a whole bunch of younger families, and that's totally fine. They're awesome. I think we're really building something that's going to be great eventually. And the fact that we have that many kids show up to our first event, and we haven't been along that, you know, around that long, it was crazy. And it was just so much fun. Everybody said they had so much fun, and I enjoyed it very much. It was great. It was a really good event.
Okay, so you got to hang out with some actual real live teenagers.
Yeah, well, I was the only teenager there, and most of the time I was working. But when my sister's about 10, so she had like 20 kids her age there.
Okay.
And they just had tons of fun. It was great. I mean, I enjoyed myself. The parents were all really cool. So.
Sure. What can parents do to make life on the road better for teenagers?
I would say give them outlets. I think part of the reason why teenagers are so nervous about being homeschooled is just insecurity. Like, I didn't like the fact that, you know, me compared to somebody else, that I would be different. You know, that's how I viewed it. I'm different. But when you look at it, you just have to change your kid's view to, oh my gosh, guess what I'm getting to do? Like, I'm different. How cool is that? You know,
right.
You just have to change it from a negative to a positive thing. And that's a very difficult thing to do. But over time, they're gonna understand that, like, popularity and, you know, all of these relationships are in school. Because I discovered that most of mine were just fake, you know. Well, as soon as I left, I was like, none of those people reached out to me. None of them cared. And that was very difficult. Like, I mean, you found out. Yeah, I mean, because I valued all of those relationships. And I thought they did, too. But I guess it just wasn't, it's surface level stuff. And it's not important in the long run, and I guess you just have to get your kid to realize that. But I also would say give them time, because this whole, like, forcing your kid into, like, you know, mentally forcing them. I understand if you're going to have to force them into RV because you already quit your job and you got to go. Like, I get that. But when it comes to, like, trying to mentally force them, you just got to let them discover it on their own, you know? Kind of like broccoli and candy. You just have to let them like it on their own.
That's right. Yeah. And so if you were a kid in an RV, what kinds of things would you want to be doing?
I don't know. I like taking photos. So I like going around taking photos. And I also like, you know, posting photos and talking about, oh my gosh, guys, guess where I am now. And I love hiking. Just all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think you have to be an outdoorsy person to really like RVing when it comes to staying at, like, RV parks. But there's also the aspect of, hey, we're going to go to this monument in Georgia and go see this. And, like, it's the coolest thing, because it's like every field trip ever you can do. Like, you know, it's not just your state in a 2-hour radius. It's everywhere. You can go everywhere. You can see everything, not just in books. It's the coolest thing.
Right.
I mean, I think that's one of the biggest perks, is just being able to see stuff with your own eyes. Like, there's stuff that my parents before me weren't able to do the same things I'm doing now, because obviously times have changed a whole bunch, and my parents are doing things that their parents didn't do for them. So there's things that I've seen, and I mean, I went to Alaska. I mean, I went on an Alaskan cruise and got to see, like, the most beautiful things in the world. And there's so many adults that don't even get to do stuff like that.
Right.
You know, it's such a blessing to get to see these things. And so I think that, you know, kids, as soon as they realize, holy crap, I just went to Alaska, you know, and just are so excited about it, then that's when they're going to be pumped and ready to be road schooled.
Right. And I think that it opens the door to a lot of new adventures and new experiences for kids. I know we've talked on this podcast several times about my connection with full-time families and the things that those kids have been able to do, like visit the Scripps Institute in San Francisco and learn from oceanographers about marine wildlife.
Definitely.
And then go snorkeling at an underground county park and watch the sea creatures crawling around up close and personal, panning for gold in the very creeks and areas where the gold rush took place, and going up to an observatory and actually talking to astronomers about how the planets were formed and the star clusters and galaxies and things like that, and viewing them through the telescope. There's so much more available to kids when they get out and they get to experience this in their RV and when they're homeschooled and they can direct their own education. And I just, you seem to be happier. You seem to be very confident. And would you say that that was the case a couple of years ago?
Oh, no, definitely not. And I think that something people have to understand is, you know, you're not going to be super secure in your, like, you know, every once in a while, I kind of flip out and I,
Well, that's teenager.
Yeah, definitely. And I just, you know, I get to a point where maybe something bad just happened or, you know, we haven't had a whole bunch of events lately and we're not traveling. And you know what? You just get insecure and you get upset. But you know what? You just have to understand that, like, you're basically getting to step into all of your history books, all of your science books, all of these things and get to do things that, you know, mm-hmm. some people would dream of doing. And so you just have to be grateful and, you know, sometimes tough it out. And, you know, that's just part of life.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Rayleigh. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to describe your experience. And I hope you continue to pursue whatever you're passionate about and enjoy a great life.
Thank you. You too.
I can understand why Rayleigh Wiley likes the opportunity to self-direct her studies to some degree. I wish I could have done that when I was high school age. If Rayleigh wants to dig deeper into a topic like astronomy, she can dive in for several days or weeks without interruption. I also appreciate her honesty in describing her feelings and shifting from a traditional lifestyle to a non-traditional life where she gets to explore more things on her own. Students her age often seem forced into a type of conformity that is necessary for a large-scale educational environment, but Rayleigh's experience seems to have opened doors for her to discover more about herself and the world she lives in. More importantly, she's creating opportunities to help other kids and teens who RV full-time to connect with each other and share their experiences, and I think that's pretty good. My next guest is 10-year-old Madison Carnes, or Maddie as she prefers. Her experience is a bit different from Rayleigh's because Maddie is just starting out into the full-time RVing lifestyle. She also just started road schooling, but is already seeing how it benefits her in comparison to other friends who still attend typical school. National RV Training Academy Director Terry Cooper joins us in this segment and engages Maddie in talking about her entrepreneurial effort to operate lemonade stands to serve people going through the tech training and staying at the Texan RV Park. Maddie describes what she likes most about living in an RV, and she talks about some of her hobbies that she pursues on the road as well. She even shares some of her career aspirations. To learn more about her experience, please welcome Maddie Carnes to the show. We have a special treat today. We are with Madison, and she is 10 years old and has been full-time RVing for about a year. And we're here at the National RV Training Academy, and the president, Terry Cooper, is with us. And we just wanted to have a conversation with Maddie about her experience. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I really sometimes like hanging out with my parents. But I'm not saying, like, I don't like hanging out with them. I like hanging out with them. But sometimes when they have to work, I get bored. And all I really have to do is play with my toys or watch TV. And sometimes I don't have friends to play with, so I get kind of bored.
That can be a challenge. But you're being homeschooled, is that right?
Yeah.
And or actually, they call it road schooling because your home is on wheels. What kinds of things do you learn about?
Well, history, language arts, typing.
All the stuff you would in a... Have you ever been in a regular school? So do you like road schooling better than that, or is it about the same, or what would you say?
Well, I like homeschooling, but the only thing that I don't like about it is in a regular school, you had a bunch of friends to play with, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what I don't like about homeschooling.
I just heard there is a new program being developed in the RV industry or with the RV lifestyle that will connect kids who are being road schooled with each other online in events like that. Have you participated in any of those?
The Digital Pen Pal. You remember that?
Digital Pen Pal.
Oh, I did one of those Digital Pen Pals with Colleen Sadie.
Yeah. Okay.
And, yeah.
Was that interesting? What was that like?
It was cool. They did some cool experiments. Mm-hmm. Like, they made a cloud in a jar. Like, it was cool, and then they, like, let the cloud out. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. How often or how long in a day would you say you're actually in school?
Well, in the morning, I do the stuff that I can do by myself, and then I have the whole afternoon off, and then my parents help me with the stuff that I need their help with at night.
Wait a minute. It sounds like you only go to school a couple of hours a day.
Yeah,
I mean,
clearly.
No, yeah, no wonder you like road schooling better than being in a regular school.
Yeah, because with a regular school, you go to like with my friend Bailey, has to go to school at 6 o'clock, and then she doesn't go until 4 o'clock at night.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that's a lot of time to be in a classroom, and you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So what kind of adventures have you had at school or on the road that you've really liked?
Well, I liked the one in Utah when we went to the Grand Canyon. That was pretty cool. I like seeing the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a cool restaurant there and stuff, and it was really cool seeing the Grand Canyon. And it was snowy there, and it was really cool.
How many states have you been in?
Well, we've been in Oregon, Washington. Have we been in California? Yes, we've been in California. Idaho, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Which one's your favorite?
Texas, I guess.
Texas? Okay.
But the only thing I don't really like about Texas is the heat.
Heat, yes, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, and nobody in Texas likes the heat. I'm pretty much convinced of that. Super. So if there was a place you would like to go in your RV, where would you like to go?
I would definitely like to go to Utah again because it's a very pretty state, and it's busy, but a very pretty state.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm from Wisconsin. Do you have any desire to go to Wisconsin?
Well,
do you know where Wisconsin is?
No.
The middle of this country. And the northern part in the middle of the country. A lot of cows there.
Yeah. I heard there's a lot of cows there.
Super. So, and with the exception of being with your friends or not having as many really close friends that you can hang out with, are there some advantages to RVing that you really like?
You know, I noticed the other day I was driving down through the park and I saw water coming down the street. So the first thing that comes through your mind, oh no, we've got a water leak. And I drove up there and these little girls were out there on the slip and slide and they had the little mermaid suits on. I thought, that is so cool. So now I look at the little ladies and I say, there's my mermaids, and just wave at them and go on by. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of cool. And it's interesting to watch the dynamics of the kiddos. It doesn't take them long to make friends. It really doesn't. And so you may have a family come in, they only stay maybe a week or so because maybe dad or mom is going to school. And it's amazing how they make friends with one another. And next thing you know, you look at them, they're running up and down, and they've got their skateboards or their roller skates or, you know, whatever, and just hanging out with each other. And then those folks are gone. So that's why I was encouraged to see the digital pen pal, because I see that as a way for them to stay in touch. I really do.
Right. So have you made a lot of friends when at the campgrounds that you've been in?
My friend Bailey, that she's a pretty close friend. It's almost like we're sisters because we're really close friends. Like, we play every single second that Bailey has to play.
Okay.
Like, as soon as she gets back from school, we're out playing. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as she has to go for dinner, and then she's like, well, I got to go and eat dinner, so I guess I'll see you tomorrow. And then I'm like, okay.
Okay. So,
now, yeah. Bailey's one of those folks that lives here in the park, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's going to stay here, I think, for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Very good.
So what you'll see a lot of times in these RV parks, there'll be sections where it'll be families, and then you'll have a lot of folks that are coming through and stay daily or weekly. And Madison, or Maddie as we call her, has the opportunity to visit with all kinds of kiddos. And it's just, it is kind of interesting to watch the dynamics of these kids. It really is. And it helps that Maddie never meets a stranger, you know, because she knows everybody. And how many times have you sold lemonade out here?
A few.
Yeah.
Like, there was this one time, I think it was a while before September, and then before September, I sold quite a bit of lemonade and made quite a bit of money. And then in October, I think it was there was no class going on, so there was no people to sell lemonade to. So my parents were like, how about you just take this month off? And then in September, there was class going on, and I was like, hey, this is the time to start lemonade again.
That's right. There you go.
I tell you, it was interesting to watch because she was set up on the front porch of the office there at the Texan RV park. And so as everybody was going home to lunch and coming back, she happened to catch them. And, of course, you know, what parent or what adult can say no to a child that's got lemonade, you know? So next thing you know, you hear a little jingle in their pocket. So you know that they've done quite well. So that was good.
So you're teaching people how to be entrepreneurs here of all ages.
Well, you know, some of them just seem to kind of gravitate it naturally. So mm-hmm. why not?
So. That's right. So where do you sleep in your RV?
In a top bunk bed.
A top bunk bed.
Okay. I always like to be really high. Like, not like mountain high, like kind of bunk bed high. Like okay. a high bunk bed in an RV.
Mm-hmm. It's different from having a bedroom of your own, but is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine. But what I really don't like about it is that, like, let's say if I like injured myself and I have a ladder to get down, I wouldn't be able to get down.
Yeah.
Unless my like dad took me down or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason why I don't like the top bunk, but I like being high and seeing the high window.
What do you do to make the space your own? You can't like paint the walls, right?
No. I don't know. But, well, how I make it my own is, you know, I, like, put my favorite colored bedding in it, which is purple. So I put that color of bedding in it, and it's a pretty cool color. And then I have this, like, net that I have three sections in it, and I put all my stuffed animals in it. And that it just makes me feel home. Like, it makes me feel like my old house, you mm-hmm. know?
What kinds of hobbies do you have?
Well, play with my friends, play with my toys, all the time, play on my iPad or watch TV.
Do you like to read?
Kind of?
Okay. Super. Do you do any crafts or things like that?
Yes, I do a lot of coloring and crafts and stuff.
Okay. What kind of crafts do you like the most?
Mostly building paper airplanes or drawing.
Okay.
Well, you were building crystals the other day when I came in the office, weren't you? That was one of your assignments, I thought it was, where you were making crystals.
I wasn't making them, but I was just like watching videos how to make them.
Okay.
We haven't got to that yet, but I hope soon we can make crystals.
What do you want to be what do you want to do when you grow up?
It's between a dancer and a police officer.
A police officer. Okay. Very cool. So you can stop people and do a little dance for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And what made you choose those?
Well, I think respecting the law is a good thing to do. So that's why I thought of being a police officer and a dancer, is because I like to do ballet, and I had some friends that like to do ballet, so I thought, why don't I try it out? And I got pointer shoes, which you stand on your tippy toes on wood, and it hurts for a little while, but after you practice quite a bit, it doesn't feel so bad.
What kinds of things are, how do you celebrate holidays in an RV as a kid?
Well, with Halloween, usually we just like put some sticky things on the wall, and then like probably like one or two blow-ups outside probably. And
what about birthdays?
We have done one birthday in the camper. Well, two actually. My dad was spoiled on his birthday. I gave him a hand rub and a foot rub.
Oh my goodness. What dad wouldn't like that?
And watched football
with that. Oh, my. The sacrifice you make as a 10-year-old to keep dad happy. I'm sure he appreciates that. So do you have any advice to other kids whose parents have said, hey, family meeting, we're going to sell our house and we're going to get in an RV and hit the country living in it full time? What would you tell them?
I would say just have fun and explore. and exploring is pretty fun, so I would just say don't stay inside all the time. Get out and have some fun. Like, just get out and go on a hike or something, or a bike ride, or just don't stay inside all day. Get out and...
That's right. You make friends by going out and meeting other people, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, super. Well, thank you, Madison or Maddie. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and I wish you the best of luck in your RV adventures.
Thank you.
Rayleigh Wiley and Maddie Carnes are pretty typical of other youngsters their age who I have encountered over the years, not only as a journalist covering the RV lifestyle, but as a full-time RVer myself. Those types of kids are super confident, super polite, and exceptionally conversational, and even more so when some guy hasn't thrust a microphone in front of them. Road school students just seem to develop the ability to speak comfortably with people of all ages. Rayleigh's advice to give kids time to discover the advantages of road schooling and the RV lifestyle on their own makes sense to me. Children who have been RVing for a while find they absolutely love not only the lifestyle, but the ability to learn on their own. Parents may need to tug them into the RV initially, especially if the students are older. But if they are given space to grow into the new lifestyle, they adopt and wonder how in the world they ever wanted to cling to that other life. Moving into an RV is a big lifestyle change, but one that gives kids far more freedom than they have ever had. And rather than spending 8 hours a day in a classroom, now they invest 3 hours or so in self-directed schoolwork. That gives them many extra hours of time to read, create, tour, and experiment on their own. It's a huge confidence builder. Maddie's experience running lemonade stands with another youngster at the RV park provides more evidence that kids who live full-time in RVs enjoy many of the same experiences as other children, yet they experience so much more by traveling from state to state. I'd like to thank Rayleigh Wiley and Maddie Carnes for taking time to share their experiences. There is no doubt they both face a very bright and rewarding future. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News, a magazine and online publication that connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it's running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. That's all we have for today's show. On behalf of everyone working at Work Camper News and the National RV Training Academy, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening.